Okay, today's daf is Trumas daf Yud Gimel, and we continue here in the finishing up the second week, really, of Maseches Trumas. We're still in the first parak, Hamisha lo Yitromo. Yesterday, we had the Mishnah about the five people who aren't supposed to be Torim Lachachila, but if they did, then Trumasa and Truma, that's different than the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the Masechta is five people shouldn't be Torim, and if they did, it doesn't work, but the Evid. Yesterday we had the Mishnah of five who shouldn't be Torim Lachachila, but if they did, then it is okay, b'di'evid. And we also spoke about the Isser of being Torim, Hafarshas Truma, in an exact measure. Mida, Mishkal, the Tevel that I bring into my house could have an exact measure, but when I'm Torim, it is not allowed to have an exact measure. That was all that halacha. Now we're up to the next din of Hafrasha, as we continue here on the bottom of Yud Beis Amid Beis, a couple of daf left here for the first parak of Maseches Trumas. Says the Mishnah, Ein Tarmin Shemen Al Zeisim Anachtashim, V'lo Yayin Al Anavim Hanidrachos. So we had already that one is not allowed to be Mafrish. If I have oil and olives, so I'm not allowed to take off olives for the oil and the olives. That's how we interpreted the Mishnah on the Testament base. Well, the Mishnah said, "Ein tarmin zeisim al hashemen," it meant I'm not allowed to take off olives for the oil and the olives because of gezel hashevet. We have the different pshatim, whether that means torach, whether that means actual gezel, the two different days. But that's in terms of olives taking off olives. This is the opposite. Am I allowed to take off oil? Am I allowed to take oil off for Zeisim HaNechtashim? But this isn't really olives and oil, but this is just for olives that are pressed. Olives that are pressed, that are going to be pressed. So one shouldn't do that because the olives that are not yet pressed have not reached Gemar Malacha. And therefore, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, that one is only supposed to be mafresh from somebody that had Gemar Malacha to somebody that had Gemar Malacha. But if one did and one didn't, then even if neither of them did, then as we'll see in the Mishnah today, actually it's today's Mishnah, we will see that that is not appropriate lechatchila. So again, in terms of shemen, one is not allowed to take off oil and have in mind to patir and to be matir the olives that are going to be crushed. Al zeisim anachtashim, lo yayin al anavim anedrachos, or wine for grapes that are going to be pressed. Vim taram, and if you did, so this is a new halacha that we haven't had yet, this type of halacha, truma v'yachzer v'yitrom. It is truma. The oil that you took off for the olives, it's truma. And as we'll see, it's truma d'araisa, it's real truma. Midrabanan, we'll see what the ukimta is in the Mishnah. Midrabanan, you have to take off another truma. Take off another truma from the olives or from the grapes. That is halacha number one. But there's a difference between the two trumas. The first truma that I took off, which is a truma daraisa, a regular good truma, and the second one, which is a chumra derabanan, we'll see why, but harishona midama'as bifnei atzma. The rishona, the first truma, is midama'as. Bifnei atzma, what's bifnei atzma has to do with the Mishnah later on, which is not our issue now, but midama'as, it creates meduma, meaning it's real truma, it's truma daraisa, and as we know, truma is batel, midrabanan, in 1 in 100, 100 chulin to 1 truma. Anything less than that, then the mixture is called medume and has to be sold to a kohen, except for the amount of the truma. So that's rishon medabas b'fnei atzma. It's real truma. V'chayavin aleh chomesh. And if a Yisrael eats the truma by accident, then he has to pay the kohen along with an extra 20%. Chomesh. Avaloshnia, but the second one does not have all of those halachas. So that is, again, those, when the Mishnah wants to tell us the difference between Shubat Arais and Shubat Rabbanan, the Nafkaminas are always Midume and Chomesh. Because Midume reflects real Truma, real Shubat Arais. So the first one creates that, and also Chomesh. But the second one is just, as you'll see, a Truma Rabbanan Lachumra, so it doesn't really have the status of Truma, doesn't have the status of Shubat Arais, it does not create Midume, and, there is no, Chomesh. There is no Chomesh. There's what to talk about, but let's just do the... Actually, let's stop there for a moment. Midamas, meduma hasn't come up that often in the Masechta so far. But again, meduma means a mixture. A mixture of dimua. Remember, the Vilna Gaon uses this in a totally different context. Remember, the Gra in Parsha Zos HaBracha, in the Kol Elio, where the Gra talks about the Gemara that appears in two places, in Bava Basra and Menachas, about who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah. Was it Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah. How can you say Moshe didn't write the last part of the Torah? Or, how can Moshe write? Vayamas Shamoshe Evan Hashem. It's not true. It didn't happen yet. Vayamas Shem Moshe. So it must be that Yeshua ben Nun wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah. That's one of those machlokos that you don't know who's saying the bigger chiddush. Right? They're both neither of them are pashut. Neither of them are obvious. That's the Gemara. And the question is, how did, according to the opinion that says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, how could he have written a lie? Right, it says in past tense, and Moshe wrote it, and it didn't happen yet. That's one of the arguments that the Amorah, the Tanaim give to each other. Efshar Moshe Chai, Vekasa Vayamasha Moshe, Mechzi Kishikra. So how is it possible? So the Vilna Gaon explains, Elu Ve'elu Dibri Elokim Chayim. What do you mean? Look closely at that Gemara. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it himself, it says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it Bedema. Bedema with tears. That's the simple pshat. Rashi says, Merov Tsaro, from his great pain. And what does that mean, from his great pain? So again, we're not having a shear on this now, but we mentioned, so Pasha pshat, that he was a baby, didn't want to die. But this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu knew. So he was dying. He was upset because he knew the value of every moment, that he didn't want to die. And he was that there was a human side. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole drasha about that. He was crying because he wasn't able to imbue in these psukim the full Kedusha Sefer Torah, because it wasn't fully true yet. And maybe that's why he was crying. Not because he was human and nervous and... But, a little more lumdus. But the question the Gra asks is that why wasn't it a lie? Vayamasha Moshe. How could he write that? So the Gra says maybe the word dema there doesn't mean dema, but as we're learning now, maybe it's from the word medume, mixed up. Moshe wrote it in a mixed up fashion. What does it mean, a mixed up fashion? So the Gra explains that based on the Ramban's idea, the Ramban from earlier sources, the Ramban in the Hakdama to the Torah quotes that the Torah can be read on many levels. And all the Torah on a deeper level spells out the name of God. All the different names of God. Kol Torah Kula Shmosef Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't read it like that. We read the Torah as Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim, and as Hashem gave it to us. But in the Torah's pristine state, the Torah, the Gemara says, was created 900 plus generations before the world was created. So what did it look like then? So it didn't look like we have it now, with all the halachas and with all the psukim, with all the stories, because the stories didn't happen yet. So it was more in its pristine Shem Hashem state. Says the Gra, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave the entire Torah up to the last eight psukim already decoded, already in its state that we have now, and we read it like we have now, and the psukim that we have now. The last eight psukim Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe wrote it. But Moshe wrote it bedema, in meduma, in its mixed up state. It didn't say vayamasha Moshe ben Hashem when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. All the letters were together and it said something else relating to the Shem Hashem element. Once Moshe died, then Yoshua ben Nun was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu how to decode it, and now which says vayamasha Moshe. So really both are right. Both shitas of who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah, but Moshe wrote it in the mixed up way. Where does that word dema come from? It comes from a pasuk. Malayascha vidimacha lo ta'acher. Right? That's talking about the not doing the hafrashes out of order. But that's what the Gra says. Dimacha, right? Salomar meduma v'irbuv osios. That's an unusual type of meduma. But that is how the Gra connects that word bedema in the Gemara, Gemenachas Daf Lamed, Babasra Tezvav Tezayin, to our case. Shneim askim lo de'echa ki nichtva de shneim, ade Moshe hanistar vasod, ade Yoshua hanigla, kasher iksuva biyadenu, lador vadar. So that's a Gra. Number one. Number two, the other point I wanted to make is relating to the Isser of Chomesh, Chalal of Chomesh. So we know this is a Raisa for a Kohen, a non-Kohen, for a Zar to eat Truma. Anyone who is considered a Zar is allowed to eat Truma. This is the Rambam, has it as the Lo Sase Kuflam Gimel, the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Reish Pei, Shelo Yochal Shum Zar Truma. There's an Issa Daraisa. So if I do a Bemezid, Issa Daraisa is Misa B'dei Shemayim. If I do a Durabanan, I'm sorry, if I did a Peshogig, so then I have to repay the Kohen. And I have to pay an extra chomesh, which is a fifth, which is what we call a fifth milavar, 20%. This is a fifth after you add it on. But that's the Isser Torah, Shelo Yochal Shum Zar Truma, Shenemar V'chol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh, Ubo Apir Shem Mekubal, Shezeh Hakad Kodesh, Hu Truma Levad, V'chol Ma Shenikra Truma. So Truma, Trumas Meiser, Chala, Bikurim. All of those are included in this Isser for a non-Kohen to eat. Who is a Zar? So Yisrael is a Zar. A Levi is a Zar. regarding this. Who else is a Zar? The Minchas Chinuch has a whole discussion. A Bas Kohen married to a Yisrael. Does she have the exact same halachas as Yisrael with Misa B'dei Shamayim? And yesterday she was able to eat Truma. And today not. Is she called a Zar? Pashas, yes. Pashas, she's now not allowed to eat Truma. What if she's a Bas Yisrael that Bas Kohen that's married to a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael died, but she has a child. So we know she still can't eat truma because of the child. So are all of those, they're not letting truma. Are they still called the Yisrael? So the Minchas Chinuch talks all about these cases. He says you find some evidence that even though a Bas Kohen that's married to a Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma, could be that there's still a difference between the a regular czar and those cases. A different knows ches here, he talks about it. And other nafkaminas. Okay, there's pages and pages in the Minchas Chinuch on the Isser of Zor She'achal Truma. We'll see if we get to it. So back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, I'm not allowed to be mafresh oil or wine and have in mind these olives and grapes that are going to be crushed. But if I did, then Truma is Truma. But I have to be mafresh again for some reason. V'tarmin shemen al zeisim ha-nechbashim v'yayin al anavim lasos and simukin. But no problem, l'charkila, to be mafresh truma on preserved olives or on grapes that are going to be used for raisins. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. What do you mean, going to be used? This halacha is supposed to be telling us that anything that already had Gemara malacha, you could be mafresh from one to the other. So oil is had Gemara malacha, preserved olives. That's it. They're preserved. I'm going to eat them as is. They're preserved. So that also is Gemara Malacha. So that's why the Chachila, I'm allowed to be Mafresh Mizel Zeh, because they're both in the same world, right? They're olives, oil. And if they're both in their Gemara Malacha state, so then that is allowed. Good. Misha Torim Shemen Al Zeisim L'Achila. What happens if somebody was Torim Shemen on, because I have some olives that I'm planning to eat. So those olives had Gemara Malacha. And the oil is Gemara Malacha. So I'm allowed to do that. So if somebody's turim truma for olives, v'zeisim al zeisim la'achila, or olives for other olives, v'diyayin al anavim la'achila, v'anavim al ayayin la'achila, or wine for grapes that you're planning to eat, grapes for grapes, and then all of a sudden, after your mafresh, you decide that some of these grapes I'm going to press. V'nimlach l'darchan. So if I originally knew that I'm not supposed to be mafresh from oil onto olives that are going to be crushed. That's the first line of the Mishnah, right? Because that's from something that had Gemara Malacha for something that doesn't have Gemara Malacha. But here at the time, I was being honest, it all had Gemara Malacha. Then I just changed my mind. So in its Arch Litrom, you don't have to be Torim again from what you change your mind to. And now the Mishnah just generalizes the Yesod. Ein tarin mi davar shenigmer malachto, al davar shlo nigmer malachto. I'm not allowed to be mafresh truma and give to the Kohen from something that already had gemar malacha, from something that the processing finished, and have in mind something that the processing wasn't finished yet. Because the processing wasn't finished yet, that's an example of minachayev alapatur. Because it didn't have gemar malacha yet, that is not chayev in shumas and maestros yet. So therefore, I'm not supposed to do that. Velo, or the opposite. Midavar shelo nigmar malachto, al davar shenigmar malachto. Something that did not have gemar malacha yet, min hapator al hachayiv. I'm not supposed to do that too. Velo midavar shelo nigmar malachto, al davar shelo nigmar malachto. Or two different things that were lo nigmar malacha, I'm also not supposed to be mafrish one on the other. V'yim tarmu, in all these cases, v'yim tarmu trumas and truma. Right, and we compared earlier in the Masechta, we compared this Mishnah, why b'di'eved, is it Trumas or Truma, as compared to some of the cases in the first Mishnah, where we said, or even Beis Hillel, in the case where with the oil on the olives and the oil, we said, Beis Hillel said, ain't Trumas or Truma, compared to here, Trumas or Truma. So we said, here, it's not as much of a Tircha, we didn't really answer the question at the time. Talking a little bit about raisins here, so what bracha do we make on raisins? We make a borei priha eitz. Right? Raisins are like grapes. So you make a borei priha eitz on raisin. What do you have? Raisin bran. Raisin bran, the cereal. Well, you have a couple of raisins mixed in, so mizonos is never batal. Especially there, mizonos is probably the ikker. Even if somebody wouldn't eat raisin bran without the raisins, okay. If the raisins are so chashiv to you, then maybe you'll make two brachas if it's two ikkers. But if not, then the raisins are sparsely mixed into the raisin bran. What about raisinettes. I haven't seen those in many years, but that's the chocolate-covered raisins. Chocolate-covered raisins. So what is the halacha? There's a Mishnah Brura. So the Mishnah Brura in doesn't talk about raisinettes, but the Mishnah Brura in Rod in the Gullus was Shfer. They didn't have raisinettes. But in Reish Dalid Nun Aleph, Reish Dalid Nun Aleph, they did have sugar-covered shkedim. So sugar shkedim, other types of nuts. V'chein shkedim ha-mechupim betzukar, says the Mishnah Brura. Af shei mechupim legamrei, even though they're totally covered and it's a nice thick layer of sugar around these nuts, mivarech bori priya eitz, you still make eitz on them. Nuts. All nuts are ha-eitz, except peanuts. Peanuts are legumes. They grow in the, they grow in a root. So peanuts are hadama. But all other nuts are ha-eitz. So even though they're totally covered with sugar, and that's very important to you, still you make a ha-eitz. The af shetzukar harbe me ha-pri, ha-pri iker, quoting from the Prima Gadam. So they had it 400 years ago, right? So they had these sugar-covered nuts, shkedim, and therefore you make a ha'etz. So that sounds like this kind of case, right? You have chocolate-covered raisins, the raisins of the Iker, and therefore that's the bracha that you would make. If you look in the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner has a tshuva about this, in Zion, Chav Zion, he says, La'achrona yesh macha v'hu shaked, mitzupe kolo kula b'shokolad. Right, so he has the chocolate-covered nuts. That was his shayla. Ma'adin b'misha machliso l'peh, so when you're eating this, you first eat the chocolate, and then you get to the nut. So what bracha do you make? So I'll add in. If you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman Feuerbach, they should make ha'etz on chocolate also, because chocolate, cocoa, and that's the reason that you... So then you don't have a problem. They're both ha'etz. You don't have a shayla. But according to the Minhag Olam, that we say shahakol on chocolate, so now you have a question. Now you have a question. And he's assuming the shahakol on the chocolate. Mi neima... Do you say in this case, this is similar to the Ramah. Similar to the Ramah. The Ramah in Reish Beis Aleph. Ramah says there, what happens if you have an Iker and a Tafel? So you always know the rule. You make the bracha on the Iker and the Patos on the Tafel. What if you eat though the Tafel before you get to the Iker? But it's still Tafel. It just so happens that you're going to get to the Tafel before you eat the Iker. So then you have to make a bracha on the Tafel because you're eating it first. Right? So what bracha do you make on the Tafel? What bracha do you make on the tafel? Machlokas Rishonim. You know what the Ramah says? Shahakol. If you're eating a tafel before the Iker, then it doesn't get its own bracha of tafel because it's a tafel. It really shouldn't have a bracha. So what do? You make a shahakol, which gets us into the sugya, which I get into now, but the lumdis of bircha shahakol. Lumdis of bircha shahakol is based on a Trumas Hadeshen. So he quotes this Ramah from Reish Yud Beis. Just find it. The Ramah in Reish Yud Beis. Im ochel atafel tchilah kon sherotza lishtos verotza lechol tchilah kadesh lo yishta libet derekna. Right, you don't want to drink on an empty stomach. You don't want to eat on an empty stomach. Osha ochel karini gudganios lamatik ashtia. You're eating a little some cherry seeds in order to sweeten up your palate before you actually eat, but it's all tafel mivarech ala ochel tchilah avo bishu tafel ashtia. You have to make a bracha on the tafel. Veinu mivarech ala vrak shahakol holvu tafel adavar acher. Says the Ramah, a tafel. Mimanav shach. If it doesn't need a bracha, it's a tafel. Then don't make a bracha. And if it needs a bracha, then make the bracha that it's supposed to get. No, says the Ramah, you make a shahakol. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Kivad al kapanim achilasu ula tafel adavar acher. Hivsid bracha so haru yolo. Mivarech shahakol kadosh lo yen ebeli bracha. Shahakol is more of a matir for the hanas hagavra. All the other brachas focus on the chefza. Borei minei mizonos, priya eitz. A shahakol is a different type of bracha. Different type of bracha. So, maybe the Shevet Alevi says this is like that case, right? You're sucking it on the chocolate before you get to the nut. And therefore, you should make a shahakol on the chocolate. And then you get to the nut. And here, the chocolate would be shakal anyway. That would be its bracha. You make a bracha on the chocolate, and then you get to the nut. Oh, Dilma, or do I say, no, it's one thing you're eating. You're not eating chocolate and nut. You're eating a chocolate-covered nut. Oh, Dilma, shiny hacha, shahakol, nechshav, ma'achal, echad. It's all called one thing. Like the Mishnah Berurah's sugar-covered nuts. Right? Maybe that. And therefore you make a ha'etz even on the chocolate. If that's what you get to first. Because it's one thing. It's one thing, right? Ach ulai shiny awesome to ochel akol yachad v'nidon didon ba'ochlam azeh chazeh. Unless that nut is different, that's one, and here it's, you know, eat it one after another. But he says, ain't suffik believe. He says, I don't have a suffik. The Prima Gadim that the Mishnah Berurah quoted, that we just quoted about the nuts and the sugar, he says, afilu imachnis bepeh umotzi tasukra tchila. Even if in that case you'd suck the sugar on first, that's around the nut, you don't make a separate bracha on the sugar. It's not like the Ramaz case. The Ramaz case, you're eating a separate item. You're eating, I don't know, cherry seeds before you eat. That's a separate item of food. So there you could say, oh, you're eating the tufel before the ikker, and therefore what do you do about the bracha? But here, it's one thing. You might be sucking off part of one thing at once, but it's one thing. Tahacha, like, I don't know, if you're eating a chocolate chip cookie, and you want to take a bite of one of the chocolate chips first, because that's what you like. So you're going to make a shahakal on it? First of all, you're going to have some mizonos in there too, but that's a cookie. Right? Tahacha nechshav davar echad kasher hirgish kvodo ba'atzmo. Vadai, mi shirotze limso says asukar o ha-chocolate. V'yachar kach daito lahafle tapri. If you only want the chocolate, and then you're going to throw out the nut. I'm sure there are children out there like that. I'm just going to eat the chocolate and not the nut. Then you just make a bracha on the chocolate, because that's all it is. Pshita. But if you need both, one bracha. One bracha. That is the Shevet Alevi. So even if you eat the chocolate first, Rav Moshe, that's Rav Moshe's Chiddush, some of you might remember Rav Moshe, in Gimel Amar Aleph, Rav Moshe says, two brachas. Two brachas. Rav Moshe says, from 1972, he wrote this to the Rav Moshe Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, one of the post-Gadar also. Ubedvar Hatzimukim, this is raisins. Ha mechupim b'shokolad ma nechshava iker. What's the iker? And he goes through some of these sources and he says, aval havadai rotze gamba chocolate mitzad atzmo. The average person eating these wants the chocolate also. Is it also in the chocolate? Rav Moshe says, mitzorach levarech al shneiem big chiddush. And they have to make a bracha on both of them against the Shevet Alevi. V'kivan shemechupin ha'inu yochol levarech tchila al tzimukin. Problem is, you're supposed to make a ha'ais before you make a shahakol. And here you're going to get to the shahakol first, because that's the outside. So what do you do? You have to have kavana shalol latzeis. When you make the shahakol, I'm only having in mind the chocolate. I'm not having in mind the raisin. The best, if you have plain raisins that aren't chocolate covered, oshar min ha'ais, or other fruit. Then, yivarech al atzimukin tchila o al shar min ha'ez yacharkach yivarech al ha-shokolad shahakol. That's the Rav Moshe, but a little bit about tzimukim, which came up here in the Mishnah. Okay, says the Gemara, tamon taninan. So we learn in our Mishnah, the Gemara is asking, the Mishnah seems to contradict itself. We learned in the second half of the Mishnah, ain't tarmi midavar shalom nigbar malachto, all over shalom nigbar malachto. You can't be tarmi by something that already had gemar malacha for something that didn't. And what did the Mishnah say? And if you did, it works by the Evan. It works by the Evan. The hacha, and in the resha, at amar hachin, and in the resha, he said otherwise. What did the resha say? Remember, if I take olives, if I give olives as shuma, and I have in mind olives that are going to be crushed. So it's a dvar, shenigmar malacha, for someone shelo nigmar malacha. What did the Mishnah say? It's truma v'yachzor v'yitrom. And you gotta give a second truma. What do you mean? The second half of the Mishnah said if you did that b'di'eved, nothing. It works. So the Gemara says you're right, ukimta. The first case, the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about a case where you amafrish the truma, and then you lost it. And then you lost it. So, we don't want the Kohanim to forget what it's like to eat truma, and to keep tahar. And if they're Tamei Meis, they don't have any Truma around, maybe they won't be pushed themselves to become Tahar. So, that's what we're talking about. If the Yachzor v'Yitrom is a Din d'Rabbanan, that one needs to be Mafrish more Truma, so that the Kohanim don't forget what it's like to always be involved with Taharas. Reb Hila, B'Shem Reb Yochanan, Mebnei Geder Mechatas. It's a Gzeira Mishum Mechatas, right? That water of the Para Aduma. The water of the Paraduma, Shalo Yihu Betalin, Rambam Tara. Shalo Yihu Mechatas Betalin. So that the Mechatas won't be Batel. Again, it's an Ukimta that the Truma was lost. We don't want the Kohanim to forget about the Mechatas and not have to see the Marafolda, Umairi, Shenevda HaTruma Kamaisa. Right, the first Truma was lost. Dim Lokin, Aritzorach, Litwa, Lahazas, Mishum Truma Kamaisa. Right, if you have the original truma, so then you know that you have to go go to the mikveh if you want to eat the original truma. But here you lost the truma, and therefore we want you still to have paraduma on your mind, and therefore we say that you have to be mafresh again. Good. Says the Gemara, mi chamor. Where it says, which gzera derabanan is more chamor? We have one here, and we had one earlier. Mi chamor, gezel hashevet o geder mechatas. Remember we had earlier the case on daf Kesser so, where the Gemara said, where the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be mafresh olives for oil and olives, and if you did, Basil says, nothing. Right? Ancient Masa Truma. And here, and that was Mishum Gezel HaShevet, we said. Here, it's another Dinder Rabbanan. You have to be Torim again if it got lost, but it's because of Geder Mechatas. So, which reason is a Chamor? What does it mean, Chamor? If you look in the Kerem Chemed, is one of the Achronim in the back, he says, you know, if you could come up with a case where both reasons would apply, which one would rule? Meaning, it could either be, it's not Truma, or it is Truma, and do it again also. So which one? And the Karim Chemed compares it to like a Kimle Bedrava Minai. Right? If you have two knassos, you have two fines that the Chazal want to institute, Ratzalomar, Eze Knas, Nira Lachachamim, Knas Yoser Gadol. And if you find a case which both of them could have been instituted, and only one of them is, so you know that one wins. You know, and that one is more chamer, that reason. Ratzalomar, Kiva Diishkan, Shnei Advarim, Mistavra, Dizrach Liklos, and so, but Knas Yoser Chamer, Shibishteyem. Like Kimle, Yadon Bechamura. So, where is that? So, where do we have that? So, we have it by the following. Gezel Shevet O Geder Mechatas. Here's the case. Dishmeina Menada. Maybe you have it in the following Tosefta. Following Tosefta, Zesim, Al Zesim, Behu Asil Kocham. What happens if I have olives? I have a bunch of olives. I'm going to crush all of them. And they're all you didn't do Gemar Malacha. Anavim, Al Anavim, Behu Asil Adarcham, or grapes. And then, what happens in this case? So again, l'chadchila, I'm not supposed to be mafresh, right? Because this is midavar shelo nigra malacha, al davar shelo nigra malacha. So the Mishnah says I'm not supposed to do this, right? Because maybe I'll be mafresh, I'll change some of them to gemar malacha, some of them to not. So the Gemara says, the Tosefta says, truma, v'yachzer v'yitrom, be mafresh truma, and then the truma got lost, right? And then you have to take one more truma. So 1 second, so here, right? It's possible that you have both chashos. Hare yesh kan gezel hashevet. You have gezel hashevet because maybe you're not going to give exactly as much as you need to give. Forget the mechatas. And you also have the issue of mechatas because it got lost and the kohanim aren't going to be involved in as much truma as they should have. V'tani Allah. And what does the Tosefta say? Shuma v'yachzer v'yitrom. So you see it has the halacha from our Mishnah. So what do you see from there? Hada amra shegeder mechatas chomer migezel hashevet. Right? When you have a case where you can have two possibilities of which gzera derabanan wins, it's the geder mechatas that wins, and that's why it's truma, but you gotta take off truma again. Like our Mishnah says, instead of saying that it is just not truma at all. Mechatas, we know, is the ashes water of the Paraduma. The Mishnah in Para, and the Rambam quotes it, tells us that there have been 9 Paradumas in history. We're waiting for number 10. Number 10 is going to be the last one. That's what Chazal say. There have been 9. The Rambam quotes this at the end of the third parak in Meseches Para. The Rambam says, V'teisha paras adumos na'asu, mishenitztavu b'mitzvazu, atshachar v'abayis ashniya. Right, there have been 9 Paradumas until Churban Beis Vayisheni. Harishona asa Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did the first paraduma, right, in his day. Well, he didn't perform, but Elazar, at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Shnia asa Ezra. So Moshe Rabbeinu's lasted from Moshe all the way through Bayis Rishon. That was long, many, many years. Moshe Rabbeinu's paraduma lasted all those years. And then the second one Ezra Sofer did at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And then Sheva mi Ezra Chorban Abayis. There were 7 more during Bayis Sheni because there was a lot of time of murder v'chulu. And then that's 9 va'asiris Oseh Hamelach Hamashiach. And the 10th one, the Melach Hamashiach is going to do. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe has pointed out that the Rambam doesn't end the parak there, right? He adds 2 more words, which is very un-Rambam-like in the Mishnah Torah. Va'asiris Oseh Hamelach Hamashiach Mehera Yigale. May he be revealed very quickly. Like, B'mer v'yameinu amen. That's very un-Rambam-like. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out that it's it's instinctual. The Rambam can't mention Melech HaMashiach without saying Meheir Yigala. It's part of our emuna, part of our mahus. So if we mention Mashiach, so then we have to say Meheir Yigala, and Be'ez Hashem, we have to. And that's the source for ending all different with B'Meheir V'Yameinu Amen. Right, we'll have to Be'ez Hashem, Mashiach will come soon. Today, and then we'll have to come up with a different thing to say at the end of all of our Divrei Torah. But that's the Rambam at the end of Perek Gimel, Meheira Yigala. Those two words teach us a lot. Okay, Ma'amar Rabbi Yossi Hacha. Let's just do the first line, first step of the next Gemara. So remember Rabbi Yossi, we had Rabbi Yossi back on Daf Yud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi said, like Beis Hillel over there, if you take olives for truma and olives, ain't shumas and truma. Rabbi Yossi was very strict there. The truma is not a good truma. What does Rabbi Yossi say here? Would Rabbi Yossi also say in our Mishnah, ain't shumas and truma, right, regarding mechatas, would he be gozer or not? So the Gemara says, well, uma in Rabbi Meir. De mekel, begezel ha-shevet, Rabbi Meir, we have a misora. He was mekel by the earlier gzera. Machmir begeder mechatas, but he's machmir here, the Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi, de machmir begezel ha-shevet, Rabbi Yossi was machmir by the earlier gzera. Lo kajigen du machmir begeder mechatas. So we just say mechatas is the more chamor. So if Reb Meir, who is Mekel there, is Machmir here, so Reb Yossi, who is Machmir there, surely should be Machmir here. So shouldn't we say that? The Gemara is going to say, that sounds wonderful, but we have a source that says otherwise. So we'll have to come up, start with this next time, to try to answer up the Shita of Reb Yossi, how he doesn't have to say, based on the Kal V'Chomer that we just brought. Okay, we'll stop here.